Thank God for His Word. Our message this evening is entitled, Christ is Born, taken from the text that you have read, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, and Luke chapter 2, verses 7 to 18, and verse 20. Christmas, we remember our Savior's birth, when God Himself entered human history. It was the pivotal birth of all births throughout human history. It was the pivotal climax of human history. BC, before Christ, and AD, Anno Domini, the year of the Lord, our calendar, the human chronology of history gives to us this pivotal climatic time of human history. And today we want to behold that time, 2,000 years ago, when the Savior of the world was born. When was Jesus born? Our text tells us in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1 that it was during the days of Herod the king. Verse 1 of our text says, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, it was during that time when Herod was the ruler over Israel. They were a captive vessel under the Romans. It was during the Roman Empire that the Savior was born. And it was at that time, according to the Jewish historian Josephus, the time when Jesus was born was during the time when Herod reigned. And it was the time when this man Herod was ruling, and he was proclaimed the king of the Jews by the Roman Synod. If you read history, you would find that this is found in late 40 BC, and he gained control and possession of Palestine in about 37 BC, and he reigned for 37 years and 34 years from the time of his possession of the land. And so we are talking about real things, right? The birth of Christ was in the chronicle of history, and it was at a certain time that this great event took place, and we want to rehearse it before you. And we said in Matthew chapter 2 verse 1 that it was during the time of Herod's reign. How long did Herod reign? Well, we said that it is about 37 years when he was pronounced king, and 34 years when he was there ruling in the land. And the historian Josephus also tells us that there was an eclipse of the moon that occurred shortly before Herod's death. And it was a marked point that signifies the event. And after his death, there was a celebration of the Passover. And this date in history is chronicled on the 11th of April, 4 BC. And so his death occurred sometime between March the 12th and April the 11th, 4 BC. And since the 34th year of his reign would have begun the Jewish month of Nisan. Jewish month of Nisan is in the month of March, and it was 4 BC, first Nisan, and that is the 29th of March, 4 BC. And therefore, his death would have occurred sometime between the 29th of March and April the 11th, 4 BC. And therefore, for these reasons, right, we are able to trace that Christ was born not later than March, April of 4 BC. Why are we speaking about this? Because we would like us to know that Christ, the Savior, was indeed born during that time, and we are speaking truth and facts to you. When Jesus Christ was born, we said that it was the traditional date of his birth in the winter, and it would be the 25th of December, and the year before the death of Herod. And so, when was that? It is most likely on 5 BC. 5 BC. And where was Christ born? Where was Jesus born? In our text in Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, it is said to us that he was born in Bethlehem. And what is so significant about Christ's birth in Bethlehem? Because it was prophesied by the prophet Micah 700 years earlier. Imagine someone were to tell you something that is going to happen in human history 700 years later, and is able to pinpoint to you to the exact place of that happening. Well, no human with any human understanding could possibly make that kind of a prediction. And here we are saying that it was God who gave that prophecy to Micah. And so Micah wrote 700 years before Christ's birth, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah," well, Bethlehem is in the land that belonged to the tribe of Judah, "and yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me to be the ruler in Israel." And so here what we are speaking about, recorded in Matthew chapter 2 verse 1, is the record of the prediction of the Savior's birth. And in Matthew chapter 2 verse 1 is given to us the fact that it was fulfilled, that he was born during that time, and he is to be the ruler of Israel. And our text tells us, "whose going forth has been from old, from everlasting." What does it mean? Well, this is no ordinary child, for his going forth, his existence, in other words, has been from everlasting. In other words, this ruler that will be born in Bethlehem Ephrathah is the ever-living Son of God. His existence did not just begin at his physical birth, but from everlasting. Here we are speaking about mind-boggling truth, mind-boggling facts, that this child that is to be born, well, was one who has an everlasting existence, and he is going to be the ruler in Israel. Now, why is it so significant? Well, because Herod was king at that time. Herod was king at that time, and he was afraid that this predicted king would come, and is he going to take over the reign of Herod? Well, that was in his mind. So, our text tells us that Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. And Luke 2 verse 4 and 5 tells us, "And Joseph went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, into the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David." And verse 5 says, "To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." Now, we want us to see the development here, that there was a couple, husband and wife. The wife was expecting a child, and there was a decree that asked this family that they have to travel from where they live in the city of Nazareth in Galilee all the way to Judea, down south, into the city of David, to the place called Bethlehem. And so you imagine, during that time, they were very poor, and they had to make that long journey from Galilee in Nazareth all the way, so that they would have to pay their taxes according to their lineage, that he was of the house and lineage of David. What is so significant about that Christ would come from the house and lineage of David? Because David was the king of Israel, and it is predicted that Christ would come of the lineage of David. And so the census confirmed that he is indeed the lineage of the king of David, both of Joseph and of Mary. And so we want us to think and trace and understand that this child is no ordinary child that is going to be born. He's the king of the Jews. And it was predicted that he would come 700 years earlier, and then he came. What's so significant about this child that has an everlasting existence? Well, he's no ordinary child. He's fully man, and yet he is fully God. And so the Apostle John recorded and described to us who this child was, that he was the very God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So who was this child? Well, he has an everlasting beginning, and he is called God, and that all things were made by him. You mean the whole universe, man, and all that is within is made by him, this child that is to be born in a manger? Well, this is the Creator that is born here. In him was life. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the one that imparts life to every one of us, and is the greatest knowledge that all of us must know, should know. Well, I got to know during the time in the university, during the time when I got to know my wife, and there was someone who came and lovingly showed to me, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Well, I did not know the way of life, the jigsaw puzzle of life. Everything was a confusion to me, until this man lovingly read these verses to me. Oh, this is the everlasting God. This is the Jesus, the Christ that was to be born, or that came. That was the true light, John wrote, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Well, this is a truth that we want to bring to you. He came to those whom he hath created, and not only created, but, you know, our life is sustained by him. Our very life, our livelihood comes from him. And We do not know him. What loss it is to not know the source of your life. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Well, we are reconciled to the God of heaven through Jesus Christ. And he is the one who would be able to give us that power to become the sons of God, to them that believe on his name. What is the name of Jesus? What does the name of Jesus mean? It means Savior. He is the Savior of the world. That is the purpose of Christmas, that Christ has to come. He has to be born a man and yet fully God, which was born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. It was the will of God that God had to send his Son to be made flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The truth of the Savior's birth is what we are speaking about. God becoming flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. Can you understand what we are speaking about? The Creator of the heavens and the earth, born in a manger. Well, this was the truth that was given to us, and the Lord wants us to take hold, to understand and to know who this Savior is. And, you know, before the child was born, the revelation was given to the angel Gabriel, to Mary. Mary was the one who was with child. And the angel came to her when she was with child to say to her. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And so this was the Mary that we are speaking about, who was told because of the census to go to Bethlehem with Joseph. And we are told that the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. For behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and shalt bring forth a son and shalt call his name Jesus, Savior." So the name of Jesus was given by God even before the conception, before the birth. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David." So he is indeed the King of the Jews. The angel came to give Mary this mind-boggling truth. And not only was the Holy Child's birth revealed to Mary, but it was also revealed to Joseph. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. She was found pregnant, but Joseph and Mary did not have any physical relationship. The Bible tells us that Jesus was born the seed of a woman. We have heard of the seed of men, fallen men, sinful. But Jesus is without sin. He is the seed of a woman, conceived of the Holy Ghost. And this was what the angel came to inform Joseph. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Well, they were engaged to be married, and you know they had no relationship. And suddenly, he realized that, "Whoa, my beloved engaged girlfriend is expecting In those times, that's a no-no. But he was told that this was no ordinary birth. It was a virgin birth. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream and saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Spirit that gave the conception, the seed of the woman that would bruise the head of the serpent. This was the Christ that is to be born, the sinless Son of God. That is the significance of why Jesus was born of a virgin, that he is sinless, without sin, that he may be the sanctified holy vessel to take our sins. And that revelation to Joseph, well, by the angel, was the same message to Mary, that he should be called Jesus, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That is the meaning of the word Jesus. He shall save his people from their sins. He is the Savior. But all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. What is the meaning of the word Emmanuel? God with us. So this child, this holy child, is God coming in human flesh. And this is what we are speaking about. This is the true meaning of Christmas, that the Savior was born, born in Bethlehem. So our text tells us, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of David, Herod the king. Now we speak about Herod the king. And there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And so at that time, when Christ was born, there were some wise men who came from the eastern part of Israel. Where was the eastern part of Israel? Well, the eastern part of Israel is in Babylon, is in Persia. It was in those places that the wise men came, the country of the Persian and Babylon. And who are these men? Well, the word wise there, a description of this men who are leading figures of in the religious court of their country of origin. They were very wise in the sense that they have knowledge of astrology, scientific knowledge, to look at the stars. And diplomacy, they have great wisdom, because they were high officials of the Eastern kingdom, of the Persian kingdom. And religious, meaning that, you know, they have certain spiritual skills, magicians, right? And they are able to understand present and future things, present and future life. And it's interesting that when the Savior is born, God brought some Gentile men from the east to Israel. And in the days, and our text tells us that while Israel was in exile in Babylon, right, 70 years, it was during that time, right, of the Persian Empire that they returned to their homeland. So Israel was deported, and the knowledge of the Jews were known, right, to the people in the east. And, you know, we have read of Daniel, of Ezekiel, of Nehemiah, of Ezra. These were men of the scriptures who were in contact with these eastern empires. And so there was this interaction. And you remember Daniel? Daniel had victory over all the magicians in Persia. Remember, he was called the third president, right, in Babylon and also in Persia. He had wisdom that surpassed all the magicians at that time. And so, you know, they were not long, right, few hundred years before the Savior's birth. And so there was this knowledge that they understood that there is this Messiah of Israel that is going to be born. And that is why this Eastern man came. It is not surprising that they would come, and therefore and they wanted to meet this Holy One of Israel. This Holy One of Israel, the one who caused Nebuchadnezzar to live like a beast for 7 years. You remember? Because Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, thought himself to be the king of the world. And suddenly he was struck down. God struck him for 7 years to live like an animal. Until his senses came back to him, he realized that there is a God of heaven. And this God of heaven is the God of Israel. And so they had this knowledge and they were tracing the stars. And the Bible tells us that they saw a star in the east that suddenly appeared out of the nowhere. So there was a cosmic phenomenon at Christ's birth. There was an eastern star that came. And, you know, God also gave to Daniel the prophecy that there will be a king that will come, that will rule the world. And this was the king that will come, in Daniel's prophecy, that will rule the world, Christ's first coming. Well, he was not ruling the world, but he will rule the world in his second coming. You recall the figure of Daniel's vision, right? He was told the empires of the world, Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, the restored Roman Empire, and finally the kingdom of God. And so here we are speaking about human history, history to come, that this Christ that will come will be the king that will rule the world for 1,000 years. Mind-boggling truth that we are presenting to you. And so this Eastern man came to Jerusalem, and they said, "Where is the king? Where is he that is born, the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Now, what child is born where a star would appear in the sky to signify his birth? Only one time, the birth of the Savior of the world. And this was the Eastern Star. And so when Herod the king had heard these things, he was king, you know, he was troubled. He said, "There's another king that arose. There's another king that is come. Is he going to take over our kingdom here?" And all Jerusalem were troubled, because later on you would see he would give a decree to kill all the babies in Bethlehem under the age of 2 years old. He was so afraid. This king of the Jews that is to be born. And when the wise men, when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." So the king knew that this king of the Jews is going to be born. Now, this is high drama. This is high drama, right? There is a king that is going to be born, and he will take over as king. So mustn't let him live. So what happens? And when the angel came and warned Joseph and Mary so that they would have to run for their lives. And when they arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my child." So when Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, so the wise men knew what they were doing, you know. They have looked at the stars, they have studied the scriptures, And they understood that this is the King of the Jews, the Savior of the world that is going to be born. So he was exceedingly wroth because, you know, the wise men were told that Herod is going to be angry with them. And so they fled away. He was mocked. The wise men were exceeding wroth and sent and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem. So there was a genocide. And all the colts thereof from 2 years old and according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. So this was what happened when Christ was born. There was a genocide. All the babies under 2 years old has to be killed because of the birth of this king. He cannot live. But the Bible tells us that all who know him, all who know this child and believe that he is the Son of God, they will be saved from the judgment to come. Revelation chapter 20 verse 6 tells us, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Now, remember we said that there is a final kingdom that will come on earth. That final kingdom that will come on earth will be Christ's kingdom. And today, you know, we are living in momentous time, significant time. This year, 2018, In Israel, Jerusalem was pronounced the capital, the eternal capital of Israel. 70 years after they became a nation. Israel became a nation when? 14th of May 1948. They became a nation. 70 years later, Jerusalem was recognized. Why? Dear friends, we are saying to you that this Christ that was born 2,000 years ago is going to return and he's going to reign from Jerusalem. All the nations of the world, he will be the king. This is the King of the Jews. The nation of Israel was wiped out from the earth for 2,000 years. Dear friends, why is Israel back in the land again? Why is Jerusalem declared the eternal capital? Because Christ is returning again. And when he returns, he will be a judge. He will no longer be Savior. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. What is the first resurrection? Before God would judge the world, all believers will be taken to heaven. You would not face the judgment of God to come. And dear friends, I'm saying to you that this judgment is coming soon. And we better be aware. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. If you are taken away in the first resurrection, during the rapture of the church, you are taken away, then you would not face the judgment to come. Revelation 1 verse 7 tells us, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. How can that be fulfilled? Right, today we know. Right, we have the technology. For him to come, and the whole world will be able to see him. He will come as a judge. And the time is near. So this king of the Jews is a significant man because he's the Son of God. He's God himself. But he's also the Savior of the world. For unto you is born This day, our text tells us, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. He is the prophesied Messiah of Israel. This is the living God who has come. And glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward men. What is the purpose of Christ coming upon earth? He came upon earth in order to bring true peace to mankind. Right? Today, in the 6,000 years of human history, there is no true peace, right? If you would make a study, you would find that out of the 6,000 years, there's only a few hundred years where there is no war. And during that time when there's no war, what is man doing? Well, man is reloading, right? Preparing for the next war. The depravity of sinful men, we know, no peace. But this is the man, the Son of God, who will bring true peace, and he will rule on earth for 1,000 years. And there were witnesses to the birth of this child. Verse 9 of Matthew chapter 2 tells us, "And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east." Now we are talking about the wise men. Huh? "The wise men followed the star, right? And they came to Bethlehem and to this place where the child was born. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy, with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." Now, these are Gentile men. Why did they fall down and worship him? How did they know that he is the Savior, the King? They must have done their homework. And a cosmic phenomenon took place to bring them to where the Savior would be born, in a manger. The place, well, we said, our one elderly lady, when her daughter tried to show her that the place of Christ's birth, he said, "Wow, very suffering." It was a suffering condition. Christ came as a suffering servant. He didn't have a place to stay, no hotel, no inn, but in a stable. And in a trough for animals, that was where our Savior was born. But it was predicted 700 years earlier in Bethlehem. And the star led the wise man to where the Savior was born. Very exact. Why am I saying this? Because we are not telling you tales. We are speaking about truth, facts. And when they came, they worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, what did they bring? They presented unto him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold, we all know what is gold. Frankincense is more expensive than gold by gram. It is used for the worship of God in the temple. Jesus is God. And the wise men knew what to bring. And myrrh, what is myrrh? Myrrh is used for the burial of kings. The pharaohs were wrapped in myrrh in ancient times. So very expensive material treasures fit only for the king. And these Gentile people, they don't know God. How did they know that this is going to be the King of Israel, the Savior of the world? Well, dear friends, we want us to take hold of truth. Take hold of what God is saying to us. And she, Mary, brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes. In other words, the baby was born, and the firstborn, and wrapped, well, swaddling clothes are pieces of cloth that are tied together in order to keep the body warm. It was winter time, right? December, winter time in Israel. Okay? And laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Suffering, winter time. And that was how our Savior was born. He came to save his own, and his own received him not. Can you understand this? Our life comes from him. And how can we not know him and receive him? Just like our fathers and our mothers. How can we reject our own father and our own mother? They are the ones who give us life. This is the Savior. In him was life. He is the giver of life. And not only were the wise men, Gentile people from elsewhere, came all the way to Israel to authenticate that he is the king. This is a savior. But God, through the angels, also gave this revelation to shepherds. Shepherds are the most humble people in Israel. It's the lowest profession. Lowest profession. There's no one that is lower than a shepherd in Israel. Right? So they are humble people. In other words, they are people who has nothing to boast about. But they are also people who would be truthful enough to take hold of the truth of what they saw in order to share it with the world. God revealed it to the shepherds in the field in Bethlehem. They will be the witnesses to the birth of this child. And when they were in the same country, that is in Bethlehem, shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid. They suddenly saw angels appear before them. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." You see, the nation of Israel was created in order to be a witness to all the nations of the world. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." This is the Savior, witnessed by the shepherds. Why? How do we know all this? How is it recorded for us? Because there were these faithful shepherds, humble men, who saw it. And they recorded it, and they witnessed to share with us. And they were truthful witness. God picked the right people. Right? They would not skive. They would tell the truth. "And this shall be a sign," the angel said to the shepherds, "that ye shall find the babe wrapped in a swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." This will be the sign. You would be able to see him when you see the babe wrapped in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. This is the Son of God. This is the Holy Child. You would be able to identify him. This is what the angel said to them. "And suddenly there was the angel, with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." This is the Savior that will bring true peace to the world. And so this witness of the shepherds was recorded for us. "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is to come.'" And so the shepherds were told about the Savior, and then they said, "Let's go and see." And they came with haste, hurriedly, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. This was what they witnessed, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. How did we know? Because there were these faithful shepherds who saw, they were eyewitnesses to the birth of the Savior. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Imagine, would you believe it? Well, they saw it. And that's why they have to truthfully proclaim it. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. And so we see the witness of the shepherds. And now we want to talk about today. Well, we say this, that this holy child that was born 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, is coming again. And he is going to return, and he is going to establish his rule upon earth for 1,000 years. You see the word millennium there? The word millennium means 1,000 years. Right? Christ is going to come and rule upon earth for 1,000 years. And before that, there will be a great tribulation. 7 years, the world is going to go through the greatest calamity on earth. And the Bible tells us that during that time, right, all the islands were fled away. What do you mean by an island? Well, we are living in an island, right? Yeah. Singapore will be destroyed. And so the Lord wants us to know that this is not your permanent home. Don't build your permanent home here. There is a heavenly home that God will build for you. And the time is near. You remember the figure that we showed you, Nebuchadnezzar's figure, right, giving the timeline in history, right, Babylonian Empire, 612 to 539 BC, Persian Empire, 539 to 331 BC, Grecian Empire, 331 to 63 BC, Roman Empire, 63 BC, and we are going towards the time of God's kingdom, Christ rule on earth, the diamond kingdom. Right. Man's fall, the earth was cursed. Sin, violence, and death continues. But there will come a time when all this will change, when Christ would return. William Wordsworth, the poet, he says concerning a child's birth, not in utter nakedness, but trailing clouds of glory do we come from God, who is our home. You know who God, who made the child? Right, for every parent, you know how miraculous it is that a child can come out of your hands. Where does it come from? This comes from God. The Bible tells, or the United Nations has this statistic, 130 million babies are born every year. Babies, life. But the Bible tells us that he that is born once will die twice. He that is born once, you have physical birth, you will die your physical death, and you will die the eternal death. But he that is born twice, if you have physical birth and you have spiritual birth, you will die only once. You will die the physical birth, but you will not die the eternal death. And so our text tells us earlier that when Christ returns, the first resurrection, all who know him, all who are born again, who have spiritual life, who believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, and you have received him into your heart, you have repented of your sins, you would be escaped this tribulation to come, the Bible tells us that the days of Christ coming again will be like the days of Lot, where they would eat, they drink, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained brimstone and fire from heaven and destroyed them all. The Bible tells us that the days prior to the coming of Christ will be like the days of Lot. What is the days of Lot? Well, today we know, right? We understand what is the day of Lot. We have heard of the term LGBT. Right? We have learned, we all know what is LGBT. A man and a man forming a family, woman and a woman forming a family. That was during the time of Sodom. When this thing happened, God's creation for the family was overturned. Imagine, men with men, woman with woman, one generation, the whole world would be wiped out, right? No more procreation. And so the Bible tells us a judgment is going to come. Right? Today, we had to wrestle. Right? We had to wrestle. Right? The world, in the Western world, in Europe, in America, a law has been passed to allow same-sex marriage. This is the days of Lot. And the Lord tells us, warn us, to tell us that let us beware that judgment is nigh. And it rained brimstone and fire from heaven and destroyed them. Even thus, it shall be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be on the housetop and his staff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. He that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. What happened to Lot's wife during the time of the judgment? Well, she was still lingering with a heart for the things of Sodom. And what happened? She turned into a pillar of salt. God's judgment was upon her. A pillar of salt. And the Lord tells us, let us not meddle with eternal spiritual things. We are very serious. We are dead serious when we are speaking to you here. Right. Whosoever shall seek to save his life, you think that you can build your life here on earth eternally, you're going to be disappointed. Who is going to tell you such hard truths? Except out of love. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two men in one bed, and one shall be taken and the other will be left. When the rapture of the church occurs, the church will be taken to heaven. Only believers will be taken. And I tell you, two women shall be grinding together, and one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. There will be a separation, an eternal separation, heaven and hell. Christ, when he comes again, he will be judged. And the Lord tells us that let us receive him as Savior, as the humble servant. He came upon earth, he lived 33 and a half years without sin, fulfilled all the law for us. And he was nailed to the cross. What is the cross? The cross is death penalty during Roman times. He had to bear the sins of the world upon the cross. God had to bear it himself. Man's sin, no man can, you can't bear your own sin. God himself had to bear our sins, and that was God's plan. The Savior of the world had to come. The Savior himself must pay the penalty for our sins. And the Lord wants us to know, the Lord wants us to see the gravity. We are to be awakened to the perils of our soul. After Jesus died on the cross. 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. You think, what is so significant about Christ rising from the dead? He conquered death. He conquered sin for us. Because of sin in our lives, there is no true peace. But Christ conquered sin by his death on the cross. And he rose from the dead, conquered sin, and to give you eternal life. And this is the life that God gives to us. And God wants us to take hold of it, because time will come no more when we would not make our choice. The day when we die, the Bible says, for the believer, absent in the body is present with the Lord. You'll be taken directly to heaven. But absent in the body is to be present in hellfire. We Chinese people know what is hell. What is hellfire? It's real. The Bible tells us it's real. And this judgment is real. And this holy child that has come, he is the Savior of the world. And he has come in order that he may live a perfect life. 33 and a half years. And then to bear our sins upon the cross, the death penalty, and to rise again from the dead. After Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to his disciples. Resurrection body before he was ascended to heaven. And this is the message of Christmas, the message that of the Savior's birth, that if you have not received him as your Lord and Savior, better make right with him immediately. Because we never know when we would die. And when death comes, there is no more opportunity. The separation will be eternal. There is a chasm, the Bible says, between heaven and earth, and death will be that separation. And so the Lord wants us to know him, take hold of him today, if we have not received him. And we have received him, then the Bible tells us that we are to take time to thank God of the Savior's birth. When Jesus comes again, he will not be a judge to us, but he will bring his reward to all his faithful servants. And this is what we are looking forward to, the coming of Christ, when we will receive our reward for all the good that he has bestowed upon us to share the good news of his coming again. So may the Lord help us. May the Lord bless us with the peace of Christmas, that we may know this Savior, Jesus Christ, and receive him as our Lord. Amen.